Thanks, Dave. So we're going to continue with our series where we're talking about the Beatitudes. We're talking about the blessed statements of Jesus. And so far, we've kind of gone through all of the others. So we've talked about blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And today we're just going to continue with that and talk about another one of those blessed sayings that Jesus made on the Sermon on the Mount. And it's from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. So Matthew 5 and verse 9. Don't know if it's going to come up or not, but I'm going to read it anyway. And it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5, verse 9, for they will be called children of God. And I think it seems a bit weird to talk about peace when, you know, at the moment, I guess in everyone's mind, we are surrounded by war. You know, war is all around us, and we're all very conscious of that. On the news this week, I saw a report that it was reported that up to 3 million Ukrainians have now been displaced from their homes and are now seeking refuge outside of the country, so they're now refugees. Those are 3 million lives that have been, you know, changed forever, you know? And there are reports of mass destruction, you know, in what are historical cities, you know, beautiful places that are being destroyed by bombs. There's claims and counterclaims of war crimes as some of the most deadly weapons known to man are being wielded to attack a nation that is nowhere near capable to defend itself against one of the world's most powerful nations. I think one of the weapons being used is a supersonic weapon. So basically it goes faster than the speed of sound. Five times faster than the speed of sound. So really causing a lot of damage and a lot of destruction. And basically the whole situation is very sickening, you know. There is definitely an ugliness about war, and it's become very, very apparent to us, you know. So it's not difficult for us really to say that war is all around us, because we're very aware of it. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that there are wars and there are rumors of wars, and it's beginning to kind of spread fear and anxiety in many of us in this society as well, you know? And this anxiety is even in most of our Christian communities, right? We're not immune from it, because it's often unclear, what should we be doing in this time? Because with one breath, we would say that, you know, these things are things that have been foretold to us, and we believe, obviously, what the Bible says. But on the other side, in the same breath, we would say, you know, where are you, Lord, in all of this? You know? What should we be doing? Well, in Jesus' time, it was actually less so, right? Rome had conquered most of the known world at that time. And things, I guess, were reasonably peaceful in most communities. Although his current audience that he was speaking to at this time on the Mount of Olives, they were living in a less than ideal set of circumstances, as they obviously felt they were being oppressed by a conquering force, Rome. So in Jesus' time, Rome was the enemy. And everybody identified with that. Rome was the enemy. And I guess for us to really kind of understand how they felt at that time, we just have to imagine ourselves living in Ukraine after the Russians have conquered it. Because then it will be clear to us and we will be able to identify that war is all around us. But the thing about war is it doesn't only take its toll on us from a physical standpoint, you know? War can also get to our emotions as well as even our very souls, right? Reading all these news about destruction and about, you know, what people are going through, you can't help but feel it as well. You don't just see it, you feel it. There was also a story I read online about a lady who basically got so drunk that she ordered an Uber to take her to Ukraine. You know? And she was so moved that she wanted to do something, she wanted to help. And whilst her heart was definitely in the right place, I certainly am not advocating for anybody to take an Uber to the Ukraine at this particular point in time. But I can kind of get where she's coming from. You want to do something, but you kind of feel like you don't know what to do. You don't know how you can affect this situation that's all around you and it's affecting you in such a powerful way. And Paul talks about this a little bit in his books when he explains that there is a war that is also in our souls. As we seek one thing, but find ourselves being inclined to do another, to do something else, to do the opposite. And this particular war is an individual battle to stay on the side of right, to do the right thing, to stay on the side of right. And in Jesus' time, it was very similar because this was what the Jews were also experiencing daily. As they were also trying to observe the law, the Torah, with all of those rules and dogma, the Pharisees were demanding and using to basically exert control on the people. It seemed like it was almost impossible to please God. And we can kind of recognize that as well today. Because today there is war, even in our communities as well, right at home. There's war in our families, siblings fighting with each other, the complicated relationship, as Dave put it, between parents and their children. Marriages are ending up in divorce. In fact, divorce is becoming almost as certain as death in both Christian and non-Christian communities. Don't even get me started about friendship. You know, we no longer know what friendship actually means. Our young people are growing up in a society that is becoming very much quid pro quo type society. You have to give in order to get. And that's becoming the norm. And in businesses, greed, the love of money, it all means that partnerships, they don't really exist anymore. Everybody wants to do everything on their own. We've become very self-serving. So it's easy when I say war is all around us to now sort of start to get the context that war is really all around us. And you're probably starting to think right now, hang on, what's all this got to do with making peace, right? But I think it's important because if you need to understand the context in which peace usually gets made, right? Usually, you have peace in the midst of war. So when Jesus was saying to his audience at the time, blessed are the peacemakers, that's the environment that they were in. That's the hostile environment that they were experiencing day in and day out, because the Beatitudes was Jesus explaining to them or presenting to them a manifesto of approval, right? So this is how God's kingdom should work. This is what God approves of. And so blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So he's saying there's a blessed state in being a peacemaker. So then I was kind of asking myself, so who are the peacemakers then, right? And, you know, why would they even matter? Because in a peaceful society, which I guess at the beginning of this year, most of us would have considered our society to be pretty peaceful, and Europe was, you know, in a pretty peaceful place, peacemakers would not really be required. But in a war-torn world, peacemakers are vital to restore peace to our world. We also have an enemy, but it's an enemy that is not always so easy to recognize. And his main weapon is to make us feel helpless. It's to make us want to kind of close our eyes to all that is around us. Because he knows that, you see, by not recognizing that we are at war, we end up losing the war. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, is our example, because he came to bring peace to our world when we thought we were at peace, when we thought there was no war, when we could not recognize there was a need. He saw the war that was around us. And so in John 14 and verse 27, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So Jesus says, peace I give you, but not a worldly type of peace. You see, Jesus responded to our state of war with God, and how he did that was by getting involved. He had no need for us. You know, like in the story of the Good Samaritan that Malcolm spoke to us about, he could have just walked on the other side, you know? He could have valued his own safety and comfort more than making a difference and turning our destiny around, building a bridge to allow us to be able to come into his family. So I guess the question then comes back to us a little bit as we start to think, hang on, so how do we get involved? And in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 6, it says, Paul was talking to the Philippians and he says, have the same mind as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Today in the Ukraine, many are fleeing for their lives. Many are being made destitute as all that they have and hold dear is being destroyed. But as that's happening equally, there is a set of people that are running towards the conflict. They are the, you know, the agencies like the Red Cross and, you know, Christian Aid and disaster recovery and people like that. In times of war, they come to care for the needs of those who did not choose war. Those who cannot defend themselves, those who are vulnerable and desperate for help. They go towards war where the natural instinct is to flee away from war because they're working towards something different. They understand something different, right? They're working towards humanity, showing a side of humanity that we need to see more of. There is always a cost to war. And definitely, sometimes it's always easier to close your eyes and hope for the best. Or to say to yourself, well, you know, what can I do? But Jesus is saying with this beatitude that those who follow him are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who seek to be like him should follow his example. So who are these sort of children of God, these peacemakers? They are those who promote God's peace. We need to seek holistic peace, both in our inner self, but also in our external world. We need to watch. We need to pray. And we need to use our big guns. We need to bring out our big guns so that we can make peace. And how do we make that peace? We make peace and we use our big guns of forgiveness, prayer, love for our neighbors, and love for our enemies. Building bridges and shining the light of goodness by sharing in suffering. Providing for those in need and pursuing God's peace on behalf of all of those who are around us. In John 16 and 33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, God's peace is not the absence of conflict in our world, or at least not yet, but rather the peace that passes understanding talks about our ability to be at peace in the middle of a storm because we know how our story ends. It's not long ago that the world seemed a very peaceful place. And before we knew it, the unthinkable had happened. War. So what should our response be? We must trust in the promises of the Bible despite our situation. We have to remind ourselves what God has said to us. And we must trust and believe in the fact that even though all around us there is war, God's purposes and plans, they still will come to pass. Because whether there is relational conflict, financial stresses, trauma of some sort, war, whatever it might be, we are called to live in the light of eternity and not in our fluctuating circumstances. As frail human beings, we often react to our circumstances based on our feelings rather than trusting God's good and God's perfect plan. You know, we are blessed. And we are blessed because God chose us. Because Jesus chose to provide a bridge by sacrificing his own life for us. I just want to read the last sort of verse, few verses from Philippians 2. And I'm going to read Philippians 2 from verse 5 to 8. And I just want us to really think through, especially as we go through communion and just focusing on what Christ has done for us and reaffirm ourselves to what he wants us to do as peacemakers. Philippians 2 from 5 to 8 says, "Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." And I think that epitomizes it all. There will come a time when Jesus will return. There will come a time when he will establish his kingdom. But in the time that we are here, and as we do wait, we're being encouraged to be peacemakers. So we need to spend time focusing on Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us in what we need to do so that we can respond. But our response is not from a position of weakness. I just want us to continue to always remember that he told us about these things before they happened for that reason. That's why he says, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled because I've conquered the world already. He's still in control. He was in control 3 months ago and we thought everything was peaceful. He's still in control 3 months later when we think everything's all over the place. Let's be done. God bless.